Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded April 23rd, 2025. Well, remember Kilmar Armando Abrego Garcia because his name could well become immortalized alongside others in the American political hall of shame like Lewinsky, Iran-Contra, and of course Watergate. The humble immigrant from El Salvador is transcended now individuality in his kidnap and extradition to a foreign penitentiary to become a symbol of Donald Trump's lawlessness. He is too perhaps the harbinger of the president's fall from grace, or in this case, more an inelegant pratfall down the front stairs. Andy Worthington's an English journalist, activist, author, photo historian, filmmaker, musician, songwriter, and principal of the Four Fathers Band. Andy is too a co-founder of the ongoing Closed Guantanamo campaign, whose first Wednesday monthly coordinated global vigils continue yet. Worthington's book titles include The Guantanamo Files, the stories of the 774 detainees in America's illegal prison, Stonehenge, Celebration and Subversion, and The Battle of the Beanfield. His articles appear at andyworthington.co.uk, where I found his latest, No One Is Safe as Trump Gleefully Deports Migrants to El Salvador's Mega Guantanamo Without Evidence or Even Via an Administrative Error. Andy Worthington in the first half. And 3 years after the Canadian government decided to use wartime legislation to incarcerate citizens for protesting what they believed were unjust policies, a court in Ottawa has read the verdict in the Chris Barber and Tamara Leach case, and the prosecution is seeking 2 years incarceration for their roles in 2022's Truckers Freedom Convoy to Ottawa. The truckers, you may recall, were protesting COVID-era lockdowns and mandated vaccinations. Ray McGinnis is an author and retired educator who, concerned about the unprecedented invocation of the Emergencies Act in 2022, attended and began reporting on the Public Order Emergency Commission hearings and was one of the only journalists in Canada to follow the subsequent Coutts 4 case, publishing numerous articles on its traducing of Canadian legal norms. Ray's book titles include Writing the Sacred, A Psalm-Inspired Path to Appreciating and Writing Sacred Poetry, Unanswered Questions, What the September 11th Families Asked and the 9/11 Commission Ignored, and the newly released Unjustified, The Freedom Convoy, The Emergencies Act, and The Inquiry That Got It Wrong. Ray McGinnis and Canada Compounding Injustice in the second half. But first, Andy Worthington and the Sinister Errors of the Trump Era. Welcome back to the show, Andy.
Thanks, Chris. Always a pleasure.
Well, it's always my pleasure. Of course, you know, Andy, I was impressed reading your article at its fast-breaking timeline. It's right up to the minute. But because there's so much happening, and it's all happening so quickly with this new administration, just 100 days old yesterday, if you can believe it. A week on from your article, it seems impossibly dated somehow. What's the latest, Andy, firstly, in the Kilmar Armando Abrego Garcia saga?
Well, as I, with specific reference to that case, and first of all, maybe I should say, Chris, you're right, things have moved so fast. I actually went away for the Easter weekend down to Dorset to be by the sea and to clear my head, which was lovely. But every time that I tapped in just for a moment to look at the news, it was just story after story of the madness of Trump's deportation mania. So the latest is that today the judge in Maryland, who's district judge Paula Zinnis, has been castigating the administration, you know, very seriously for just refusing to comply with order to them to explain what their justification is for claiming that a man that was wrongly deported can be abandoned in the hellhole of El Salvador's prisons without having to bring him back, even though the U.S. Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, ordered that he be brought back. So she's out of patience with the Trump administration, and we'll see what happens if they continue to stonewall, as it seems likely that you know, they'll try and get away with that for as long as they can. But, you know, it's just yet another example of their absolute contempt for the courts and their, you know, a very deliberate policy of trying to destroy that delicate balance of power in the United States, mm-hmm. which is really all that's kept us from dictatorship within the U.S., the balance of power between the executive branch, Congress, and the courts. And while Congress is, seems to be, the Republicans in Congress seem to be completely absent, seem to be generally unperturbed that Trump is seizing to himself, unprecedented executive power. The courts are not being so compliant, and so this is the ongoing case of trying to get him back from El Salvador. And if your listeners need a little bit of background on him, he's an El Salvadorian national who is an undocumented migrant on paper, but he was specifically given protected status, explicitly preventing his return to El Salvador by a court. And he's got a U.S. wife, and he's got his children are U.S. citizens. And the Trump administration began by admitting that it made an administrative error, and has since gone on the attack. Hysterical at the drop of a hat, as usual, about how it didn't make a mistake, and actually they have every right to send him back to El Salvador, which is where he belongs, because he's a dangerous gang member, even though, of course, that was never established at all. And the only notion that he was came from oral testimony of a quite possibly extremely unreliable witness who was being used by immigration agents. So, I mean, it's an absolute scandal that he's not back. And of course, it isn't helped by the fact that Trump and Bukele, El Salvador's dictator, who is, they all seem to look up to because of his unfettered power. He has no interest in sending the man back, and the Trump administration has no interest in bringing him back. And I think this is probably the case that is most at the heart of the unfolding constitutional crisis, because the courts really can't afford to back down on this. Otherwise, we're in very dangerous territory indeed.
Yeah, and for those that don't understand the American system, it is this tripartite system, and we have to remember that they were a revolutionary government that they set up to make sure that there would be no more kings, what they had revolted against. And so, these three branches of government are important, that they remain independent and that their authority is unchallenged. And this is exactly what the administration is doing right now. The executive branch is standing in contempt of the court, just saying, no, we're not going to pay attention to you. So this is the big fight. It's interesting, though, in the specific case that early on when this happened, because there is the sense of, okay, this is the human rights of the people involved, of course, is a big story. And also this constitutional battle is a big part of it, too, especially for Americans. But one of the early human rights victims of this was a fellow, and you mentioned him in your article, Andre Hernandez Romero. And he's the man with the mom and dad tattoo with little crowns on their heads. And tattoos was they were looking for gang tattoos. And I don't know, these people that they employ at the immigration services looked at that and says, OK, tattoo, stamp, you're off to the thing. But he's like, well, tell us a little bit, Andy, about Andre and his story, because it's been overshot. And it's interesting to me to see when I saw the narration change, just to go on my own side thing here, to Kilmar Armando Abrego Garcia, who I'm sure that he's a very fine fellow, but he's being painted as a wife beater and all this other stuff. But if you just look at him on camera, he kind of looked like he could be a gangster. He looked kind of, like a rough guy, and, I'm sure he's got tattoos and that. And it seems that they're shifting to a guy that is sort of passably, believably a gangster on camera. But that can't be said about Andre Hernandez Romero at all.
No, absolutely. And I mean, you're right about the optics of, appearance, shall we say. Andre is a gay makeup artist, and he looks like a gay makeup artist. A very sad story, because he was sent out to El Salvador, and he was filmed and photographed as they, you know, violently treated him and shaved him and you know, and was crying for his mother, and has just disappeared into a hole. And I mean, it's extremely important for us to note when we're talking about the deportation crisis that Abrego Garcia's story is a one clear example of an administrative error. But Andre is one of, we don't know how many. It seems to me, you know, a significant number of the hundreds of men that Trump has been sending to El Salvador, so to this horrendous mega terror prison, a mega Guantanamo, as I call it, where the men held there have not received trials. They are apparently, according to Bukele, going to be held there for the rest of their lives without ever having been charged with a crime. They're not allowed family visits. The place is brutal and overcrowded, and the food is awful. And I mean, it's a nightmare. It really is comparable to Guantanamo. And the lack of due process is very comparable to Guantanamo as well, but on a much, much larger scale. The bottom line is that if you attempt to get into America, and all Western countries have put up increasingly barriers over the decades to try and stop people coming, because so many people from poorer countries want to come to our countries, the richer countries, for the work opportunities that tend to be actually available in our countries, because it's jobs that are low paid and that our own citizens and residents don't want to do. But if you go through that system in the States and you are turned down, then you get a final removal order. And there's really, you know, not much that anyone can do about the government sending you back to your home country. What Trump has done very deliberately on two fronts is that he's engaging in absolutely unacceptable breaking of these basic rules about deportation. So first of all, what he's doing, and he did it with Andre, and he's definitely done it with many, many more of these men sent on the one-way trip to El Salvador, is that they didn't have final removal orders against them. They were actually in the process of applying for asylum and had hearings that were supposed to take place. So he's kidnapped people from the United States official immigration system to send them on a one-way trip to El Salvador, claiming that they're gang members. And this is the second big point, is that they have not provided anything resembling evidence to suggest that any of these men that they've been sending are actually gang members. And that, you know, as you will appreciate, Chris, for all the work that I've done on Guantanamo over the years, the fundamental thing that the Bush administration embarked on when they set up Guantanamo was that they apprehended people in a fairly arbitrary and random manner, but then claimed that they hadn't done that, and that everybody that they had was legitimately an enemy combatant who could be held indefinitely without charge or trial. And this is a kind of copycat crime that the Trump administration is engaged in. The huge problem with it is, of course, that there are something like 11 million undocumented migrants in the United States. And as far as I can see, they're all potentially at risk of just being abducted on the street and sent to the prison in El Salvador without any form of due process whatsoever, on a scale that is just mind-boggling.
And in the case of Kilmer Armando Abrego Garcia, which is the celebrated case, the one the individual picked up as the standard bearer for the Democrats, J.D. Vance, the vice president, he weighed in after it was made apparent that this was an administrative error, after the administration had admitted that it was an error, after it was known that he was not the gangster that they had first claimed that he was. J.D. Vance interfered in the case personally, which, I don't know, in Canada, you wouldn't get away with this.
Right.
And then as a major politician in getting involved in the judicial process, it's not done. But anyway, and it probably isn't kosher down there either, but he weighed in saying, oh, this guy is a criminal. He derided him as a criminal from the bully pulpit of the White House. It seems to me, though, oh, and I want to say, too, the lawyer for Andy Hernandez Romero, the stylist, she says, Lindsay Toksilowski. Yeah. It's horrifying to see someone who we met and know as a sweet, funny artist in the most horrible conditions imaginable. And this is the thing, when you compare the Cecot prison that is down in El Salvador to Guantanamo or maybe one of the other dark hole prisons of the War on Terror era, the difference to me is even more horrifying in that it's like brand new. It's gleaming. It's shiny brass rails and smooth concrete. This has an aura of the future to me, and it seems to me that the real enemy here, the real person, the real thing being waged war against by this administration isn't immigrants, isn't these individuals or crime or any of these things. It's actually the courts. It's actually the law and how much they can do without being restrained. That this is the whole point, and this is probably why they think so highly of Bukele, the president of El Salvador, who himself, he refers to himself as the hippest dictator in the world, dude.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I do think, Chris, that it's the line has to very clearly be drawn from the establishment of the Guantanamo prison in 2002 to Bukele's establishment of this futuristic mega prison, which, you know, already, I believe, will have its imitators. I think there are other far-right regimes that are planning to do the same thing, because he's kind of got away with it. You know, he declared basically a national emergency several years ago that to suspend the law to round up alleged gang members, but without any due process. You know, yeah, of course, all the autocrats love it, don't they? And that is a huge, huge problem. But I do think that we need to focus within the United States on the specific problem that really, at the moment, and obviously if they get away with this, it can apply to anybody else. But at the moment, it applies to migrants within the US in absolutely colossal numbers. And the only way that they seem to be able to be stopped is whether the courts step up and recognize that the Trump administration poses a mortal threat to their continued existence. And, you know, it's reassuring, I think, that the Supreme Court issued over the weekend an emergency order ordering the Trump administration not to send anyone out of the country until they had further review of the situation. And I think this is them fighting back. And as far as I can tell, there have only been two noticeable dissents from the two barking mad traditional far right Supreme Court justices, and what is required is for the conservatives who are not so extreme to take back control. You know, because on paper, I imagine that there are people within the Trump administration thinking that, you know, they'd managed to achieve the result they wanted with the Supreme Court because of the appointments that were made during Trump's first term in office, and that nominally the balance in the court between conservative and liberal judges is 6-3. But we are seeing on this particular issue of the administration, you know, trampling over the authority of the court, that not all those conservative justices are as pliable as the administration had hoped. And what I think is quite ironic about this is that if you look at the what would be a polite way of putting it, the intemperate language that is used towards the judges by the Trump administration, they seem pretty determined to openly show their contempt even for judges that are supposed to be on their side. So, you know, hopefully this is going to work out in terms of the courts winning.
Yeah, well, and there was a 9-0 ruling as well on this, despite the barking dogs that you mentioned, Clarence Thomas being the one I can think of off the top of my head. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Andy Worthington. Andy's an English journalist, activist, author, photo historian, filmmaker, musician, songwriter, and principal of the Forefathers Band. Andy is too a co-founder of the ongoing Close Guantanamo campaign, whose first Wednesday monthly coordinated global vigils continue yet. Worthington's book titles include The Guantanamo Files, the stories of the 774 detainees in America's illegal prison, Stonehenge, Celebration and Subversion, and the Battle of the Beanfield. His articles appear at his website, andyworthington.co.uk, and we're talking about his article appearing there now, No One Is Safe, as Trump gleefully deports migrants to El Salvador's mega Guantanamo without evidence or even via an administrative error, in scare quotes. Gleefully is right. And when this was first brought to the attention of Bukele, he put on X the crying emoji. Ooh-hoo, too bad. It's too late. It's already, the guy's already out. You know, the horse is out of the barn. The ship has left that port or something to this effect. So we're not going to return him, which indeed is the case. And for those Americans feeling, well, this is terrible, but it's, you know, it's these migrant guys. It's not going to affect me. Trump went on X himself and said, homegrowns are next. The homegrowns. Yeah. You got to build about five more places. This is what he was addressing Bukele in the Oval Office to a peals of laughter from the gathered entourages within. The homegrowns are next.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's going to be a harder task, but you can see that that's what they'd be willing to do. And I mean, apart from anything else, isn't there something really peculiar about the United States government formally entering into an agreement that involves outsourcing prisoners to another country? It feels a little bit to me like the black sides, that it actually shows America in a kind of pathetic light. But, you know, the reason that they can't do it themselves is because the rule of law still applies.
But isn't there an international law provision in this that one country can't do something like this?
The problem is that America has no judge that stands higher than itself. But, you know, I mean, one of the things that's come up because there are so many cases ongoing at the moment, but one of the things that started to emerge, I've seen, is raising the issue of people being sent to somewhere where their human rights specifically will be abused, where they will face mm-hmm. cruel and unusual treatment, which I think is absolutely the case with Bukele's prison. So, you know, that's one angle that I think we're going to see more of.
Well, yeah, and in the case of Andre Hernandez Romero, the stylist who was in the asylum process, as you mentioned. So, I mean, they're going and grabbing people out of the asylum process midstream and chucking them into the very situation. And in his case, his lawyer, again, Toksilowski, said that he had a very strong case, a very strong standing. He's Venezuelan and said because he was gay, that he was subject to bad treatment and something. I don't know the specifics of his case, but that's the general gist of it. And so then, but despite this, he was sent into what can only imagine is not a very homophilic environment.
No, but I think, you know, I mean, my way of looking at it is that what is at the heart of this is a really, really deeply disturbing and profound racism. And actually, Trump and his people couldn't care less whether these people are guilty of anything. It's part of the reason that they're hiding so desperately their supposed evidence, because they haven't got any evidence. These are people who face final deportation orders because they committed the tiny crime of trying to get into the United States legally. And some of them have, parking offenses against them. It's an extremely small number of the people that we've been able to gather from the evidence that have committed any kind of more serious crime. So they don't care. They just want all migrants out of the United States. I think the ambition, you know, which Trump has said from the beginning, the biggest removal of migrants in U.S. history, regardless of the damage that it's causing financially, you know, in terms of the U.S.'s plummeting reputation on a daily basis. But it's a racial hatred. These are white supremacists. So actually, I'm starting to think, Chris, that the less guilty, the more transparently innocent people are, the more transparent mistakes are, the more they're even more jubilant about doing it, because they don't care. They're just racists.
Well, I think that this is a war against law itself. In those cases where it is more blatantly, that is the attraction, because then they can snub the law more openly and more completely. You, on your Twitter feed, Andy, you put up a link to a story from the mainstream NBC News in the United States of Ksenia Petrova, a scientist in the United States with a skill set that is almost unique, or perhaps unique at least where she's working. And yet, for some unbeknownst reason, perhaps because she was public about her opposition to the war between Russia, her native Russia, and Ukraine, she finds herself down in Louisiana in one of these private, we should mention, prison systems. Do you want to say a word or two about Petrova's case?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just came across the story and I was so deeply shocked that she, you know, that her colleagues in this Harvard research establishment were saying, you know, she's brilliant. She synthesized everything and is literally the only person who can make what looks like, you know, a major breakthrough in mapping and understanding and analyzing, you know, the development of cancer. And I mean, I basically, you know, the first thing it made me think was these people are barbarians. The people running the United States are barbarians. You know, they want to hurl the country back into the Middle Ages. And then I thought, oh, hang on, they weren't even there in the Middle Ages. They want to hurl the United States back into an even more primordial, primitive basis than it was even at the founding of the United States. I mean, they're monsters. It's kind of shocking the extent of their vandalism. And you know, and it's not just on this, obviously, is it, Chris? I mean, there are so many things that Trump and his administration are doing to destroy America's economy, to destroy America's credibility. And from my example in the UK, this is the mega Brexit. This is you know, this is the huge plan to isolate the United States from everybody and everything. And you know, that is such a self-destructive thing to do. But they're just they're just such horrible people, aren't they? I mean, all of them. They're monsters.
Well,
all...
Petrova's lawyer, American lawyer Gregory Romanovsky, he says in this article at NBC News, it appears to be part of a broader effort to create an unwelcoming and hostile environment for non-citizens in the U.S. That is, new images could change cancer diagnostics, but ICE detained the Harvard scientist who analyzed them at NBC News. I just saw a story, Andy, about two German tourists, two young girls, 18 and 19 years of age, who landed in Hawaii, but only had travel plans for one of the islands. Their idea was to hop from island to island for a few weeks, you know, and have fun, as you know. But because they got held up by immigration and ended up getting thrown into jail, even though they had through tickets to leave Hawaii. Yeah. But because they didn't have a specific itinerary within the state, they were arrested, thrown into jail with criminals and held, you know, in terrible conditions and then booted out of the country. The tourism industry there is going for crap right now, as well as everything else.
I mean, it's already happening. Yeah. So, I mean, the colossal amounts of money generated by the tourist industry appear to be being destroyed. If you were a foreign student, Chris, would you be thinking of going to a U.S. university now? I mean, you know, and I saw the figures. I haven't got them to hand. It was somebody in a particular state, you know, that had a few prominent universities. And the eye-watering amounts of money that are generated by these students.
Andy, we're out of time. Tell me,
that's all right, Chris.
Before we go, what forefather's song can I bridge the gap with?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you could play maybe our song All About Love, or our song This Time We Win, because it was Earth Day yesterday, and it's I haven't been doing enough on the climate lately, but that is, of course, the crisis beyond all crises, even bigger than Trump crisis.
Nah, couldn't be bigger than Trump. Not something as simple as a planet. Okay, Andy, thanks a lot for coming on and talking to us again today. And remember, Andy, go to Andy's website to get to read more of this article. No One Is Safe as Trump Gleefully Deports Migrants to El Salvador's Mega Guantanamo Without Evidence or Even Via an Administrative Error. That's andyworthington.co.uk. Thanks a lot, Andy. Everybody else, stick around, because I'm going to be joined by Ray McGinnis, and we're we're going to talk about the lawless Canadian government in the second half. Till the next time, Andy.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Cheers. Bye.
Their message always to everybody through all their advertising, all their PR, everything is, we are your friends. And it's like, no, you are not our friends. Friends are not people whose bottom line is how much profit they can make out of you. It is completely different.